Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 1. Chapter is entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. And today we're covering text 37. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Ityukte Yamadutaiste. Vasudevokta Karinaha. Tantratyuchu. Praheshedam Mega Niradaya Gira Shisuka Uvacha Ityukte Yamaduktaste Vasudevokta Karinaha Tantrayuchu Praheshedam Mega Niradaya Giraha Shisuka Uvacha Ityukte Yamadutashte Vasudevokto Karinaha Tantrayuchu Prahashedam Mega Niradaya Giraha. Please chant. Matajis. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Iti, thus, Yukte, being addressed, Yamadutai, by the messengers of Yamaraj. They, Vasudeva Yukta Karinaha, who are always ready to execute the orders of Lord Vasudeva, being personal associates of Lord Vishnu, who have obtained the liberation of Salokya. Turn unto them. Pratyuchu replied. Prahasha, smiling. Idam, thus. Meghaniradaya, resounding like a rumbling cloud. Gira, with voices. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudeva smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudeva smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Purport. The Yamadutas were surprised to see that the Vishnu Dutas, although polite, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnu Dutas were also surprised that the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religious action. Thus, the Vishnu Dutas smiled, thinking, "What is this nonsense they are speaking? If they are actually servants of Yamaraj, they should know that Ajamil is not a suitable candidate for carrying for them to carry off." Because text 38 is so, it's kind of like the second half of the thought process that's being presented here by Sukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, I'm taking the liberty, I hope I'm okay with this, to go on to the next verse in purport. Sri Vishnu Duta Uchu Yuyam Vai Dharma Rajasha Yadi Nirdesha Karinaha Bruta Dharma Shana Tatvam Yaksha Dharma Shalakshanam. Translation, the blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, said, "If you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion." Purport. This inquiry by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraj claim to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnu Dutas very intelligently ask them to explain the symptoms of religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnava knows these principles perfectly well because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, "Sarvadharman Parikjagja Mamikam Sharanam Braja." Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Therefore, surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the principles of material nature instead of Krishna are impious. Instead of to Krishna are impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men, and fools bereft of all knowledge, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15. Na mam duskatino mudha prapadyante naradama. Mayaya Pritagyana Asharam Bhavamashvitaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. One who has not surrendered to Krishna does not know the true principles of religion. Otherwise, he would have surrendered. The question posed by the Vishnu Dutas was very suitable. One who represents someone must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. All devotees, especially preachers, must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so as not to be embarrassed and insulted when they preach. Sri Suka Uvacha Ityukte Yamadutaiste Vasudevokta Karinaha Tan Prayuchu Prahasyedam Mega Niradaya Gira. Sukadeva Goswami continued, being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudev smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Sri Vishnu Duta Uchu Yuyam Vaidharma Rajasha Yadi Nirdesha Karinaha Bruta Dharma Shanas Tatvam Yaksha Dharma Shalakshanam. The blessed messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Duta, said, if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of your religion. Om Aganatamanandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umlitam Gena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We have Yarubar present here, and he and his wife shot a very, very powerful video of Srila Prabhupada's video recorded translation. This was just, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Yarubar, but I think it was about maybe 15, 20 days before Prabhupada departed. And this was from the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. I believe it was the 57th verse, if I'm not mistaken. It's a 2 minute and 22 second film clip, but sometimes there's an expression that a picture is worth a thousand words. So when we see Srila Prabhupada in this physically debilitated condition, speaking with such conviction, such enthusiasm, and such determination to continue to fulfill the instruction that he'd received from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and also due to his deep in the heart felt compassion for you and me and you. I mean, this was incredible. And what's so amazing about it is that practically without any editing, you know, it's appearing word for word in his Bhaktivedanta purports. So that film clip spoke to me very, very powerfully. One could stop and think of why it is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, from the very first time that Srila Prabhupada met him, his friend Narendra Malik was coaxing Srila Prabhupada to go visit this saintly person. And Prabhupada, because of his experience in growing up, his father, being a very pious man, would regularly invite sadhus for prasadam at their house. And Prabhupada developed kind of a negative impression from these, quote, sadhus, because they were basically fully engaged in the vipralipsa tendency, the cheating propensity. Prabhupada described how one so-called sadhu with wife and children, and then when he would start his work day, he would don the garb of saffron cloth so he could go out and do his business of begging. And then he would see other beggars. You know, they would get their money and then they would smoke beedies. So he wasn't impressed by these Kali Yuga sadhus. So Narendra Malik had to really work on Srila Prabhupada. Said, no, I've heard from him. He's genuine. Please come. So then when Prabhupada and Narendra Malik finally came into the room where Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was holding Pravachan, they offered dandavats before him. And before they'd actually fully gotten up, they were just starting to rise from the floor, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said to them, you are both educated young men. You should dedicate your life to teaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the English-speaking world. So he got an instruction right in the beginning. And then Srila Prabhupada, as a grihastha, approximately 1 month before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur left his earthly pastimes, he wrote him a letter. And he said, asked him, look, I'm a grihastha, what can I do for your mission? And he said, you will do well if you write books and preach to the English-speaking world. So, and that letter, that response, came 2 weeks before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's departure. So, in the preface to Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada describes that we're all Rupa Nugras. Rupa Goswami, very, very high status. In Krishna Lila, he is Rupa Manjari, who is the leader of all of the Manjaris, facilitating the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so now I want each one of you to take the ISKCON wake-up pill. Okay, now we know there's sometimes a joke that there's a ISKCON sleeping pill. Does everybody know what that is? That's the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Okay, that's the joke. So, now it depends upon how you handle the Bhagavatam class. If you listen with rapt attention, then it becomes a wake-up pill, okay, because it can actually help wake you up from, you know, the nescience of our material contamination. So, Rupa Nuga means that we're followers of Rupa Goswami, every one of us. And his kind of magnus opus, his greatest work, was the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right in the very beginning, Rupa Goswami makes it very clear that our qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness is based upon our faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay, everyone got that? This is a good argument for surrendering to taking the Bhakti Shastri course and Bhakti Vaibhava course. Okay? Now, this is based upon an analysis of the Vaidhi Sadhana platform, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. On the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, there isn't so much taste that is awoken. So our impetus for rendering service is Shastric injunction and order of Guru. And order of Guru, of course, comes from Shastra. You know, he just fine-tunes it, tailors it to our particular situations so that we can properly engage in Uttama Bhakti. So if you connect the two, okay, so if the impetus for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is Shastric injunctions and the order of Guru, then it makes sense that our qualification, I mean, try and connect the two. Think about it. Really stay awake now. You know, activate your cerebral cortex and try and see this connection. Okay, so if the qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness is faith in and knowledge of Shastra, okay, so got that? And that's actually the impetus. That's what drives us, you know, on the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti platform. Okay, so if we really believe what Prabhupada's giving us in his books, and we actually have faith in it, and we try to apply it in our lives, then that pushes us to, you know, very strictly follow the Shastric injunctions. Unlike the Yamadutas, they didn't know Shastra. You know, they were on the Kanishta Adhikari platform. Their knowledge of Shastra was weak. So there's a very, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I want to clarify something. There's one place in Srila Prabhupada's books, it's Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 71, where Srila Prabhupada differentiates between two concepts. Now, the first concept is what I've just enunciated. This is coming from Rupa Goswami's description of the qualifications for advancing in Krishna consciousness, faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay, that's coming from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, Kanishta Adhikari, he has weak faith and very limited knowledge. So, his facility for advancing in Krishna consciousness is quite restricted. The Madhyama Vaishnava, Madhyama Adhikari, he has strong faith and reasonably good knowledge. He can't defeat all the opposing arguments, but he's pretty solid. You know, he's passed Bhakti Shastri and gotten through Module 1 of Bhakti Vaibhava. Okay, then the Uttama Adhikari, he has incredibly deep faith and he can defeat all opposing arguments. He's very, very learned. Okay, so then there is a description. Okay, so then getting back to text Madhya Lila 2271, Krishna Das Kaviraj describes that advancement in Krishna consciousness. At one time I learned the Bengali, but It's not quite there for me this morning. I was asked at the last minute to give Bhagavatam class. I didn't have time to revise. Please forgive me. It's a really powerful understanding, though. The advancement in Krishna consciousness means to increase love and attachment for Krishna. Okay? That's what it means to advance. The qualification to advance is a different thing. Okay, so let me give you an example. How many of you here have an MBA? Please raise your hand. Any MBA holders? We have 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. You have an MBA. I thought you were a videographer. No wonder you're organizing such a powerful fundraising campaign. You have one, right? Oh, MVA. Master of Video... Okay, videography. All right. Okay. So, if someone has an MBA, that gives him qualification to make a lot of money and become a crorepati. Right? It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to become a crorepati, but it's a lot easier if you got the MBA, because you can really, I'm really impressed by these identical twins. Where are they, by the way? Your godbrothers, Dwarkadish. Atmanakrishna, right? And Ananda Krishna Prem. They're both MBAs, and boy, they can really move. They got all these qualifications from their education. So it doesn't necessarily mean they are going to become millionaires, and particularly now that they've, you know, surrendered to full-time service within the movement, they're probably not going to become. But they're going to be extremely, they're going to be crorepotties in devotional wealth, right? Because of their surrender. So the point is this. Okay, so then where is this description of levels of advancement? Now, as when Krishnadas Kaviraj describes the that in this verse, you can look it up. All you good brahmacharis that are taking notes, Madhya Leela 22, text 71. Okay, and if you're not really a good a really strict brahmachari and you're not taking notes, then use your brahmachari intelligence to your memory to remember this. Okay, 2271. It's a very, very interesting purport. And in the text, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj introduces, you know, the three levels of spiritual advancement. And they occur, again, you can write this down, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45, that describes the Uttama Vaishnava. Notice I'm not saying Uttama Adhikara, I'm saying Uttama Vaishnava. Because this is a level of spiritual advancement. 11.2.46 describes the Madhyama Vaishnava. Okay, remember, this is a wake-up pill that we're taking here now, my dear Prabhus and Matajis. Okay, and then 11.2.47 describes the Kanishta Vaishnava, the symptomatology of the Kanishta Vaishnava. Okay, and the symptomatology, like for instance, the Madhyama Vaishnava, this is the preacher. You know, Srila Prabhupada came down from the Uttama Vaishnava platform to the Madhyama Vaishnava platform to preach. He brought the Shakti with him so he could do much more preaching than someone had come up from the Kanishta to the Madhyama platform. Right? So, Prema Maitri Kripo Pekshra. No. Prema Maitri Kripo Pekshra. I'm sorry. I'm starting in the second, third line. This 64-year-old brain got me again. Sorry, Prabhu. Ishvare Tad Adineshu Bali Sheshu Tvisatsu Cha Prema Maitri Kripo Peksha Yakaroti Samajamaha. So this describes that this is the symptomatology of a Madhyama Vaishnava. He gives his love to the Supreme Lord, Ishvare. He makes friendships, tad adineshu maitri, with other Vaishnavas. And he does this with discrimination. He gets very close with those that are on a pure level. It's actually required. My good friend Yadunandan Swami, you know, he's the principal of the Bhaktivedanta College in Radadesh, Belgium. And it's an interesting story. He joined the movement when he was 15. He started reading Prabhupada's books when he was 13. He never got a high school diploma. He's principal of a university level educational institution. He got academic credit for his life experience of being the principal of the Bhaktivedanta College, and they award, you know, a UK university awarded him a bachelor's degree. And he got his master's degree. His thesis was on fall down from sannyas within ISKCON. Okay? Now, he interviewed many devotees that had at one time been in the sannyas ashram and had fallen from it. And he found a common denominator in every single one of these devotees that had fallen down. They somehow or other failed to apply this aspect, tad adineshu, of devotional practice in their spiritual lives, of making friendships with peers. They became too isolated. And then guyamakyati prichati. What do you do when you know, Maya's knocking on your door? You don't have anybody to turn to, right? So, you know, that we get strength. One stick, all alone, easily broken. But when they're grouped together, you can't break them, right? So this is the principle between tad adineshu maitri. And then, Bali Sheshu Kripa. This is what the Majjhima, he's got compassion free from envy for those that are innocent, but innocently ignorant. Okay? And then, Dvisatsu Upeksha. He neglects the envious. And then it's not because he doesn't like them, and not because he doesn't have compassion for them, but it's just like the Nam Aparad of preaching the glories of the holy name to the faithless, right? It entangles that faithless person because he's going to react in a negative way, and it entangles them more in material consciousness. So he neglects such personalities. It doesn't mean that he doesn't devise the ways and means to eventually deliver them. There's a famous verse, I believe it's 7934. This is in Lord Nisringadev's prayers. I mean, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Nisringadev. After Lord Nisringadev offers Prahlad Maharaj a benediction, and Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't need anything. Naivo dvije paradratya vaitaranyas tvad virya gayana mahamrita magnachita so chetato vimukachetasa indriyarta maya sukaya baram udvahato vimudhan. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. Now Prabhupada gives a translation in this chapter, the chapter 22 of Madhya Lila. It's really appropriate to what I'm going to be speaking on. Oh boy, the time is flying. And Prabhupada says, for wherever I am, I'm fully absorbed in chanting your holy name and in merged in an ocean of transcendental ecstasy. Okay, this is the translation Prabhupada gives in the process of devotional service chapter of Madhya Lila, chapter 22. He said, but I am simply concerned for those fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and for maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned out of love for them. So this is the Bali Sheshu Kripa of the Madhyama Vaishnava. Now, how does that awaken? Again, remember, it's going to wake up, Bill. What are our qualifications for advancing? What is the qualification for, that's required to advance in Krishna consciousness? Anybody? Yes. I should have said, for those of you who haven't already taken Bhakti Shastri. Okay, those of you that haven't taken Bhakti Shastri yet, what is the qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness based upon today's wake-up pill? Okay, Prabhu? Faith in and knowledge of Shastra. That's correct. Okay? So, when we have deep faith in Shastra, we follow Shastra conjunction, that Sambandha Gyan gives us incredible potency for chanting the holy name. We understand that this is so important. This whole pastime is about this, actually. You know, to really focus on the holy name, to have complete faith in Shastra conjunction that the holy name can, you know, when we chant it free from offense, we can clear our sinful reactions, and we can actually clear sinful desires from our heart, the kleshagni factor. Even though Ajamil wasn't on the Uttama Bhakti platform, I'm not talking about Uttama Vaishnava platform, I'm saying that he wasn't practicing pure devotional service, but because he chanted in Namabhas, you know, he was just in such a helpless condition. These three hideous-looking personalities were trying to drag him out of his body. And so he cried helplessly the name of Narayan. Didn't matter that he was calling for his son. He was just so in such a helpless condition, he was just crying from the core of his heart. There's a very famous letter for those of, like, Siddhi Lalasa Mataji. She's a Shastric teacher. This is the famous letter. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote it at Prabhupada's instructions, and Prabhupada signed it. It was sent from Nellore. Nellore is in Tamil Nadu? Andhra Pradesh. Just over the line. Okay, and it was written on January 7, 1976. And this is the letter that was sent to the GBC secretaries that Prabhupada intended to start the Bhakti Shastri exams, the Bhakti Vaibhava exams, the Bhakti Vedanta exams, and Bhakti Sarvabhauma exams with. He wanted to start this letter. And in the letter, Tamal Krishna Maharaj described how Prabhupada was very concerned that many of our devotees were falling down, and the reason he gave was due to insufficient Shastric knowledge. Interesting. I'm glad you've taken the wake-up pill this morning, so you're hearing this. This is a cause of fall down. Insufficient Sambandha Gyan. Why? I know Krishna. Why is it a cause of fall down? There's a very interesting quote that Gopi Parandan Prabhu uses in the purport to 11.2.47, which is the description of the symptomatology of a Kanishta Vaishnava. He quotes, he takes from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's commentary on this verse. Actually, 11.2.45, 46, and 47, practically all of the purports are coming from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's commentary. And this particular paraphrase, Gopi Prandhan specifically cites this, that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his commentary says that after hundreds of lifetimes of offering articles on the external platform to the deity, one finally begins to understand the transcendental nature of Nam. And then he begins to understand the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee. And then he tries very hard to make spiritual advancement. Okay, let's analyze that. Okay, when you know, one gets purified by deity worship, that's Vaidhi Marg, the Pancharatrika Marg, you know, it's like the chanting, preaching. So after that purification, one comes up to the platform where he's pretty much free from sinful activity. And then he starts, you know, he's chanting, he comes in association of people that have maybe come to the Shudanam platform. They're very serious about their commitment to chanting the holy name. And then he begins to realize this is actually transcendental. The holy name is transcendental. It's non-different than Krishna. And this is, you know, if I chant the holy name very, very attentively, very sincerely, it's my best means of advancement. Okay? So when he comes to that platform, and then accompanying that, as we know, all advancement, you know, the qualification to advance. Now, there are exceptions to this rule, but for the most part, this is the general rule that Rupa Goswami enunciates in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, he's also studying Shastra. You know, he's associating with saintly people, other pujaris. He sees them studying. There's impetus for him to study. So, as he studies, then he begins to see what is actually the standard, what the mind of a devotee is all about, you know, how he thinks, you know, how he functions in life. There's example after example in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the standard of pure devotional service. Okay, so then we know from Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this powerful analogy of the sun. Okay? The sun of the holy name. And just like we know, now we're at the tail end of monsoons, but in the summer, that sun is so intense. And we get out in the sun and it's like, ah! You know, it sizzles us. Okay? But in the monsoons, that same, the sun is still there, but it's blocked by clouds and mists. Okay, so the clouds of anartha, the mist of ignorance, an absence of sambandhagyan, they block the potency of the holy name so it doesn't have the full impact on us. So when we study Shastra, we, you know, in Bhajan Rahasya, chapter 2, text 42, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that if one fails to try to free himself from anarthas, he meets only with inauspicity in this lifetime. Okay? So in order to try to free oneself from anarthas, one has to recognize that he's got anarthas. Does that make sense? I'm getting you all to nod your head so you don't nod your head like that and go to sleep on me. Okay. At least at this temple, we don't have prasadam before the Bhagavatam class. That's a real sleeping pill, you know. Very intelligent management. Okay. So now, so if we're constantly measuring. You know, if we're reading the Bhagavatam and we see this is the standard of pure devotional service, and we see, and we apply this to ourselves, I'm not there. I'm not there. This is an anartha. I've got pratishta. I want to be a big shot, Superman. I want to be the center of the universe. I want to be worshipped. Okay? We start to see we've got anarthas. Okay, interesting. It almost seems like circular reasoning because in the next verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is Bhajan Rahasya 2.43. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, on one's own, one cannot free himself from anarthas. But if he sincerely cries to the holy name for a few days, then the holy name will free him from all anarthas. Acha. Got it? So in other words, when we recognize that we're in contaminated consciousness, we're doing things for the wrong reason. You know, we're engaged in vipralipsa. You know, we're using devotional service to acquire name, fame, or even money. And we realize this is very bad for my spiritual life. And then we can sincerely cry like a child for his mother to the holy name. And ask the holy name. And in that cry, we're not thinking, oh, please remove these anarthas. Just like, Krishna, please engage me in your service. So many lifetimes I've been wallowing in this ignorance and samsara, suffering untold miseries. Please engage me in your service. Please reinstate me as your servant. Please release me from the clutches of the modes of material nature which drive me in an ill-motivated way through life. But I had so much more to say, and now the bell has rung. So I guess I should stop now for questions because life's got to go on. And the temple president's sitting over there, and he'll chastise me afterwards, you know, if I take the time out of temple service here. Actually, Brajahari is very mellow. Very sweet Vaishnava. So, the point is, we should take very seriously, I'll just go on and just kind of sum it up here. We should take very seriously Prabhupada's carte blanche instruction that every day you should read his books for at least 1 hour a day. Now, if somehow or other service prevents that, then by hook or by crook, get yourself into a Bhakti Shastri course as soon as possible. And if you've done Bhakti Shastri, by hook or by crook, get into a Bhakti Vaibhava course. And if you can't do that, then do your own study, systematic study. Take it very seriously because your spiritual life depends on it. Tigache? That's Bengali for okay, in case you don't speak Bengali. Okay, are there any questions, comments, chastisements, or corrections? Yes, Prabhu. See, Devaki Nandana, Prabhu.
You talked about Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, and all these degrees. I have failed to understand the meaning, like whom this degree should be awarded. Like, you know, just by literary reading and obtaining that degree, it's like somebody may do PhD on Jiva Goswami Sat Sandarbha, but a devotee, when he does PhD on Sat Sandarbha, he understands sansandarbha really, the deep meaning. But a materialistic sansandarbha PhD to get his degree, you know, he may know literary knowledge, but he will not understand.
Right.
Same I have seen many devotees, because of, you know, Prabhupada wanted, Prabhupada said this thing, they won't clean bathroom toilet, they won't wash pot, they won't clean temple, they won't distribute book, but they want to be in line to get that degree, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav.
Right.
And then, Vidyara Gaurava Bhrami Dese Dese Dhana Uparjan Kari. That kind of thing starts. Like they become panda. They don't want to do menial service. They want to study the books. So I feel this is kind of a side effect.
Okay.
So maybe we should have a prerequisite that who can do Bhakti Shastri course.
Right. Okay. So this is a very good point. And I'll give you an example of someone who was extremely learned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's recognized in the academic world as the most learned. Professor Dimmock from the University of Chicago. And in Prabhupada's time, different devotee scholars would go and visit him. I mean, he, you know, the best outside of India, Bengali courses are offered at the University of Chicago. And so devotees would go to consult with him, and as they were talking with him, he would be smoking a cigar and drinking a glass of beer. So one point is that the qualification for advancing is faith in and knowledge of Shastra. It's not just knowledge, but it's also faith in. So if one has faith in Shastra, then he'll follow it, because he knows that this is in my very best interest. So what you've brought up is something that I remember Shesha Prabhu, the Minister of Education for ISKCON, wrote a letter to the leadership of the Mayapur Institute and the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education about how he had received complaints from temple presidents of those of devotees that had gotten their Bhakti Shastri degrees and had come back to the temples and were almost impossible to deal with because they were so infected by pride.
They got degree.
Okay. So this, you know, I mean, we're in the process of anartha nivritti, pridefulness. I mean, like in chapter 17 of Adi Leela, just following, this is text 31, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj cites the third shloka of Shishastakam. Chanadapi sunichena turoriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Okay, in the next verse, Adi 17:32, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that one should take this shloka, Trinadapi Sunichena, he should string it on the thread of the holy name and wear it around his neck for constant remembrance. And so, it's not necessarily, you know, it's just like education given to an unqualified person can increase that person's capability of doing nonsense. And that's the way it is with material education, for the most part. So, but education and proper education given to a qualified person is what our movement is all about. You know, if you look at the seven purposes of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada enunciated when he started the first ISKCON temple, 26 Second Avenue, five of them mentioned training and education. One of them mentions publishing books, and another establishing like temples, sanctified places, holy dhams all over the world. And what do you do in places like that? You speak Bhagavad Katha. You hear and chant together. That's the whole purpose that he started the movement. So there's definitely scope for misuse. As a matter of fact, on the basis of this critique that Shesha Prabhu gave us, we adjusted the Bhakti Shastri course. The last unit of the Bhakti Shastri course are the qualities of a Bhakti Shastri. And so we get into real depth of how one should actually behave, you know, and going, okay, so now you brought up another point before you take the floor away. And this is, so we go into this. You know, this is the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. You know, chanadapi sunichena. It gives us a qualification. If we start to manifest these qualities, these four qualities that are given in that shloka, then our capacity to come to the Shudanam platform is incredible. But that takes work. And that also takes studying Prabhupada's books. So then, another thing that could be said is that before one, you know, like, I served for 12 years. I was in the Work Now Samadhi later generation. So it was 12 years before I had any systematic Shastric study. You know, it was nonstop Sankirtan marathons for 12 years. And when I finally got the chance to study in Vrindavan in that 1 month, this is prior to the establishment of Bhakti Shastri courses. You know, there had been one exam in Gorpanim 76, but there hadn't been any courses. But these were Shastri courses. You know, when the movement went through serious difficulty in 1986 and 87, and there were fall downs of major leaders, senior leaders of the movement met in Vrindavan and tried to figure out what's going on in our movement. Why are so many people falling? It was just so disruptive. From 87 to 90, 85% of the devotees left the temples in North America. It was mind-blowing. Remember, Dwarkadish? It's incredible what was going on. So these leaders, this included Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Giriraj Swami, Satsarup Maharaj, Burijan, Jayadvaita Swami, Dhanadhar Swami, they sat down and analyzed what has happened to our movement. And the conclusion that they came to, which corroborated Prabhupada's instruction in that January 7, 1976 letter, was because we were failing to adequately study Prabhupada's books. And that was the beginning of the VIC. So, you know, what I experienced in that 1 month of continuous study, I got up at 2, that was the standard for all Sankirtan devotees in America. I got up at 2 o'clock, got all my rounds, chanted before Mangal Arati, started studying after Mangal Arati, went to about 4 or 5 classes given by the senior most leaders in the movement. And I'd been coming to Vrindavan since 81. This was 89, January 89, just after the Christmas marathon. And, you know, I'd come every year. And I came more like a tourist. Oh, here's Jamuna, here's Radhakund, here's Govardhan Hill, here's Vamsivat. But when I was studying in the association of other devotees and guided by senior devotees in the Holy Dham and getting the association of the previous acharyas through Prabhupada's books and getting the incredible association of Prabhupada, the Dham revealed more of itself to me than ever before. I was so enlivened. And what was the most amazing thing is that when I returned to the United States, at that time I was the national Sankirtan leader, and I would try to lead by beating everybody on my parties, distributing more books, you know, kind of the Vedic leadership principle. What was the most amazing thing to me was that my own personal book distribution results increased 40%. So this had a profound impact on me, and it became part of my sadhana. So every year I would go, I would study at the VIG. It served as a motivational foundation for starting the Mayapur Institute. So my service actually increased rather than decreased, and that was because I understood the mood that was imparted by the teachers. You know, that this was actually something we should apply in our lives, and we should use it to increase our devotion, not to become puffed up, because that's the antithesis of increasing our devotion. We should increase our service. We should be more willing to surrender. We should be more willing to do the needful. We should be more willing to be submissive to temple authority rather than what Shesha Prabhu reported.
Like you started after 12 years of doing Sankirtan. So you had some hunger, like in Hindi they say, "Bhukhe bhajan na ho hi gopala, le lo apni kanthi mala." If there is no hunger for bhajan, that bhajan has no taste. There should be, you know, craving, kind of, you know, intense desire to have it for bhakti.
Okay.
So, like you did after 12 years, I'm just my suggestion, because you are a part of that educational system. I spoke to Braj Bihari, I spoke to Sesa, and now I'm telling you also.
I'm on the hot seat.
That you all should have some pre-qualification. Who can, not just one who pay the fee, they can enroll.
Okay.
They should have, like, you know, you just said that, you know, you did 12 years Sankirtan. Someone who had been out 12 years doing Sankirtan, I can understand, yeah. And then he will really get taste, and that will really enhance his devotional service.
Okay.
That's my...
So let me respond to this. It's a very good point. I was initiated by Satsarupa Maharaj in 1978, 1 year after Srila Prabhupada left. I joined when Prabhupada was present, but he wasn't initiated in America at the time. And when I entered the VIHE, there were only two others out of the 19 that took Diksha from me that were still active in the movement. So somehow or other, Krishna saved me. But most of my god brothers and god sisters became victims to the war, in the war against Maya. So it's a fact there should be qualification, but it doesn't necessarily mean 12 years of work now, samadhi later. Prabhupada wrote these books, you know, out of deep compassion, and he wanted us to read them. The tendency has been, there's a 1974 morning walk where Prabhupada was with Dhananjaya, and he said some very interesting things. And kind of to encapsulate it into a little formula, this is what Prabhupada said. Health first, sadhana second, service third. Okay? Now, the work now samadhi later generation that I joined, they had kind of it was an unspoken thing, but this was just kind of how it went. Service first, sadhana second, and health third. It kind of had everything reversed. So what we found is that we have, you know, with that kind of modality of service first, sadhana second, and health third, we've had about a 90% attrition rate in our movement. So when things blew up in the late 80s, early 90s, we started going through, you know, many devotees went through a paradigm shift, understanding that we had to really start caring for the devotees on many levels. You know, certainly on their spiritual level, you know, by giving them the nutrition and the strength that they needed to withstand Maya's test, because that's what Shastra study does. It allows us to identify when Maya is coming at us, allows us to identify when Maya is infiltrated into our hearts and consciousness, the anarthas, and also in terms of health care, in terms of social, you know, caring for the social being, you know, in the devotee garb, you know, giving him what he needs. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he describes that prior to the stage of liberation, four things have to be in place for a devotee to make spiritual advancement. One, he has to be in good health. Okay? Two, he has to be in a financially stable position. If he's too impoverished, his mind is too disturbed to practice sadhana. Three, he has to be in a socially acceptable position. In other words, he can't be rejected by his community. You know, there has to be some respect and value given to him. And four, he has to be intellectually nourished. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur unpacks that by saying that he has to regularly imbibe Shastra. So, like with anything, you know, I think that many of the challenges that we faced when we first started the systematic Shastric study, we've been able to a large extent overcome. You know, so that pridefulness, there's a lot more attention given to personal application, preaching application in the courses, not just become a learned scholar so you can show off. That's just another form of pratishtha. So with anything, there's always some flaws, and so we're aware of this challenge and we're working on it. In terms of the qualification, you know, there are many very successful temples that are very service oriented, and they give a lot of emphasis now, you know, to the Shastric training very early on in the devotional career. And there's a model among some of these temples. I'm not going to name them specifically, I'll just keep it generic. Train so they will remain. And so that training comes in the form of Shastric training. It's not that they don't do service, but there's a lot of emphasis given on this Shastric training. So it's kind of, there's been a little bit of a pendulum swing, which I don't think is too far, because when they finish their Shastric training, their level of empowerment in the service arena, just as I experienced it when I got out of my first Shastric training situation, when I hit the Sankirtan field, poof! I couldn't believe it myself, you know, how Krishna was using me. It was such a big increase, and every year that I would go back and study, I would get a similar increase, 40% increase, every single year. So I did bigger and bigger and bigger. And I attributed that to, you know, believing more in the product that I was selling, basically, because I knew it better. Yes, Orkadish Prabhu. So we do one more? Is it okay? One more? Yeah. You got a mic for him? Oh, we got two more. Maybe we should. What should I do? Should I stop it here and then just talk after class? 5 minutes more. Okay, Prabhu, you got the mic. Go for it. Then Orkadish, you're next.
Prabhu, I read.
I'll keep my answer succinct. I'll keep right within that 5 minutes.
I read a letter from Prabhupada. One pujari is writing to Prabhupada from Vrindavan that, Prabhupada, I am doing my pujari service and also I am doing my bhakti shastri. And Prabhupada was very happy that he is continuing his service and doing bhakti shastri at the same time.
Yeah. That's ideal, you know. Sometimes, you know, what we found is that, you know, Srila Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on building, you know, a structure for the devotees to go to in Mayapur and Vrindavan, so they could get purified. What I found, you know, I was the director of I started the Mayapur Institute, I was the director for 10 years, and I found that 85% of the devotees that would come for taking Bhakti Shastri, both the men and the women, were in life crisis when they were coming. They were going through like major tests in their devotional career. So the temple president gave them a break and said, okay, you go to Mayapur and study, or, you know. And I found that because I taught quite a few times in Vrindavan. So, you know, it's ideal if the service can go on, but there's also, you know, to save a soul, there's adjustments that sometimes need to be made, you know, and because the momentum in many temples, you know, over the years was there was kind of, that was put on the back burner, Shastric study, and then we had massive fall downs. I mean, it was unbelievable. In 86, I was the Sankirtan leader and vice president in the Potomac Temple, and we had 45 devotees in the temple. 2 years later, there were 18. And this was going on all over North America and all over Europe and all over Australia. It was a very, very difficult lesson of failure. You know, Prabhupada said, failure is the pillar of success. But in order for it to be the pillar of success, we have to learn from the mistakes we made. So, there's, you know, it can go either way. You know, there's very successful ongoing Bhakti Shastri courses where devotees do it as they're doing service. But this is something Prabhupada, you know, you look, you know, on either side of that January 7, 1976 letter, morning walk letters, morning walks, room conversations, it's all about studying. Why? Because there were so many fall downs that had taken place. And Prabhupada knew. This was his most important gift to the world, his books. So he put a real high priority on it. Dwarkadish Prabhu. Microphone for Dwarkadish. I got 2.5 minutes to go here.
So at this moment, at this presently, do you have any prerequisite or any pre-qualification for anyone to qualify?
16 rounds, regulative principles. Like
okay,
that.
So you don't have any prerequisite that, you know, they must be working or having sadhana bhakti at certain temple for X number of years?
Not
or
really. Like in the bhakti, in the women's section, we have a bhakti pravesh course in Mayapur. And that's, there's screening done with that. If someone is too new, then they go into the bhakti pravesh before entering the bhakti shastri. So that's an ideal, but it hasn't been fully implemented yet.
Okay.
So we're moving. You know, I mean, it's such a major thing to
sure.
to really do properly. Yeah. It takes a little while to get it all the formulas in place. Okay?
It's a wonderful class. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.